argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? Talk, I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And good morning and good afternoon if you are in the afternoon time zone. We are broadcasting from everywhere around the country, and what a pleasure and a joy it is to be with you. You're tuned to BBS Radio Station 1, and welcome aboard on this second voyage of Spouting Off. It's Wednesday, September 27th, 2017, and there's just nothing going on, nothing to talk about, nothing going on in the news. I did see that Anthony Weiner got 22 months for his sexual, it's more than a sexual indiscretion, it's sexual abuse of a minor on the internet. He got 22 months for that. Roy Moore won the Alabama primary. We might have time to talk about that. Healthcare, well, repeal Obamacare and replace Congress seems to be going forward with the victory of Roy Moore. I guess we're going to have to just replace Congress people, Congress critters, once one at a time until they start keeping their promises. We can talk about that later if you'd like. But there was something that dominated the news. Oh, my goodness. We get into these things in America, don't you think? We get into these things where we become obsessed with an issue and it dominates and completely sucks the air out of the room and out of every news outlet ever. And it has to do with Hillary's book. No, that's not it. It has to do with what we are now calling Trump versus the NFL. Everybody's talking about it. It's not just a water cooler topic. It's a topic of conservative talk radio. It's a topic of the mainstream media. Everybody's talking about it. And you better believe I have some opinions about it. As a matter of fact, this issue even overtook my personal life this week when my dog got involved and got into the act. We happen to have a show dog at home, and he's rather a rare breed. He doesn't want me to tell you what it is because he wants to remain anonymous. But our show dog, he doesn't really want to remain anonymous because he has his own Facebook page and it does a lot better than mine. But nonetheless, there are a lot of people from around the world who are interested in this breed. He's done rather well for himself in the last several weeks, winning a Best in Show several weeks ago. But he told me, I don't want to be mentioned on the news. I don't want to be mentioned in your program, or you're going to have to pay me in prime rib and lobster tail. So I promised him I wouldn't tell you too much about him other than this story. This story was just off the wall. Okay. So I get this idea during the week, the NFL versus Trump. And our dog happens to be adorably, disgustingly cute. And from puppyhood, he's learned how to sit up on his hind legs. That's how he begs. That's how he gets attention. That's how he does everything. And we've got tons of pictures of him sitting up, and he's, you know, he's adorable. What can I say? And so it got to me, it came to me, and I said, you know, we should have our show dog standing up for the national anthem. And I wanted a Photoshop. I really wanted to go all out. But instead, I was impatient. I just said, you know what? Let's put a picture of our dog sitting up and a picture of the flag next to it. And we'll say that even our dog is smart enough to stand for the national anthem. And I thought it was hilarious. A lot of people did. But sure enough, several people, and this won't surprise you, who are in Europe and in Russia, I think, said that they were offended that I would bring my dog into politics. No joke. That's what they said. And they said that I was politicizing my dog. First, when I stopped laughing, I said, you're serious, right? I'm politicizing my dog? Well, first of all, and they also threatened that if I didn't take it off, that I should take this post off the website, that it might hurt our dog's chances in the show ring. And I said, you know what? No show dog or blue ribbon is worth my not standing up for my country and the flag and the anthem. Sure, I believe in people's rights to disagree, but we're going to talk about that because I'm going to weigh in on this whole topic. So I left the picture on the Facebook page, and you know what? It's not coming off. And it was so funny because somebody basically said, it's a dog. He doesn't have a political opinion. And I said, precisely, it's a dog. Aren't we getting a little overly serious here? But in fact, there really are some serious, serious issues about this subject. And that's why so many people are weighing in on it. the anthem, it really bothered me when Europeans were lecturing me about our national anthem and the flag. Is that political? Is it political to sing your own anthem and hang your own flag? I suspect that there are some Olympic athletes who might disagree. We have Olympics every 4 years, do we not? And what do we do to honor them after they get their gold medal? We raise their flag and we play their anthem. And guess what? We say that the Olympics are not political, that boundaries and borders of countries matter. And it's really okay for countries to compete with one another and disagree politically and on policy, but still be proud of the country they come from and the flag that they fly. So, hey, call me crazy. I don't think it's political to do that. But there's a host of other issues that we're going to get into and unpack this just a little bit. So, if you'd like to spout off today on this or other subjects, we're going to stay on this for a little while because there's a lot to unpack. You can call me toll free. Did I even say my name? I'm Karen Cataline. I'm the host of your show, Spouting Off, and I'm getting a little bit worked up about this. So that's why we named the show Spouting Off. So the phone number to call is toll free, 888-627-6008, or you can call me direct at 323-744-4831. You can go to the BBS radio website page and you can listen alone. You can call on your phone and listen alone, or you can call in and talk to me. It's all possible here at Spouting Off. So let's cut to the first thing that has been bugging me about this issue. Among the many things that happened this week with regard to this issue was that a football team, I think it was the Ravens, went off to London to play a football game, to play football in Britain. I said that. And at the beginning of the game, they kneeled down for our national anthem, the country from which they are coming, the country they represent, they stood up for God Save the Queen. Now, I don't get offended easily. I was damned offended at that. Not only was I offended, and the Constitution, if you look on my website at www.karencataline.com, you'll find out that I don't think the Constitution guarantees our right not to be offended. I get to be offended as much as I want. That doesn't mean that I want the government to make laws and rules against other people offending me. So I'm going to just get all bent out of shape about this and get offended and say that the people who did that were ignorant, spoiled, and foolish. We got our independence from the Britons, from the Brits, and we got our independence because we wanted to escape tyranny. Okay, so our entire Constitution, and I would venture to say that the people that were kneeling for their own national anthem have not read it and do not understand it, was to protect their freedom, their Bill of Rights, and their free speech. We didn't want to be a country that worships kings and queens, That's Britain. That's not the United States of America. America had the most brilliant idea that no citizen has to be subject. No citizen has to be a subject of others and is not subject to the divine rights of kings and queens. There is a time not so very long ago when we believed that kings and queens had divine rights from God to rule over us. That's pretty amazing that human beings decided that we all get to be masters of our own fate, masters of our own domain. And here we have Americans going off to London, which we left 200 some years ago for freedom, and kneeling for the national anthem. I was appalled. Let me say that number again. If you disagree with me, if you think that they should have done that, please call me. I would love to hear from you. Toll free, 888-627-6008 or direct 323-744-4831. There's another thing that's been bothering me about this. Oh boy, a lot of things. And that is, I don't know if you heard this week that Sheila Jackson Lee, the congressperson from California, went on the House, the floor of the House, and she wanted to support the NFL players. By the way, she is part of the Congress Black Caucus. Okay. They're the most radical of the people in Congress. And she's joined by several others, including her name escapes me at the moment. Let me get back to the point. So Sheila Jackson Lee, she's from Texas. Forgive me. I stand corrected. Amazing. Democrat from Texas. Took to the House floor Monday night to kneel in solidarity with the NFL players who chose to defy President Trump and protest police brutality. Jackson Lee said, "You cannot deny that Trump calling players who kneel a son of a bitch is racism." Really? So she kneeled on the floor of Congress. I was going to write a limerick. Sheila Jackson took a knee. And kind of like Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her father 40 whacks. But what really struck me about Sheila Jackson Lee was that what does it mean to kneel? What do we know about kneeling in general or taking a knee? Anytime the expression taking a knee is used, it usually means submission. It means giving up. It means, like in chess, when you tip over your king and say, checkmate, checkmate. You've been had, you're giving in. So what does it mean to have a lawmaker for our country kneeling for the flag and for the country? Isn't kneeling what slaves did and always had to do? Standing for liberty, I guess I'm getting worked up here, and I have a call online. So please wait, caller, and I'll get right to you while I finish spouting off. Standing up for liberty is what free men do. And yes, men, the vernacular for mankind. We're not going to get all into this thing about men and women. We have gotten so twisted in knots in this country, we cannot even talk anymore about what's important. And that's a generalization, because a lot of my friends do talk at great length about important issues. And you, the listener, we're going to talk about important issues in this hour, and we're doing it already. Liberals have twisted American minds so much that they have millionaire Adonises kneeling in America and going across the pond to stand for a British queen. Now, wow. What kind of a world are we living in today? Before I really lose it, I'm going to say hello to Charlene, who's on the line and who would like to weigh in on this topic. Charlene, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Karen. So nice to hear you on the radio. You have the perfect voice. And I would like to spout off.
I want to spout off.
I like to look at the big picture. And the way I see the events that have been coming down in the last couple of years is that there is a concerted effort to put down nationalism, all the symbols associated with our great country. That includes the flag, the national anthem, Jefferson's monument, which and Columbus Monument, which has nothing to do with the purported slavery that they're assigning to it. They used racism as a cover.
And I detect a Southern accent there. So you actually have, you might want to turn down your radio, I think. I hear a little bit of a, well, this isn't typical radio, but I hear you fine. So, yes, you are from the South. Where are you from, Charlene, if I may ask?
Well, I am from Little Rock, Arkansas. And I, you know, more or less grew up with the Clintons during their political career there for 20 years. So I'm in tune with all their tactics and tricks and shenanigans. And the way I see it is there is concerted effort to undermine, and they're using the NFL and the Hegelian dialectic, which I think you're familiar with, and you can explain it far better than I can. But
the what
it's
dialectic?
A way to move.
Maybe I'm not.
Hegelian dialectic.
For those in the audience, it's look that up. I hear them all Googling now. I think I know what you mean, but tell us what it is.
It's you create a problem, which is taking the knee, and then which forces a reaction from the people, which is anger, resentment, division. And then the solution is do away with the national anthem and the flag at the football game. So as a result, our symbols, our national symbols, die. They fade, and globalism rises. So this has been engaged in for centuries in ways to move the populations in their thinking from one form to another.
And, you know what, Charlene? I heard Victor Davis Hanson make that point very, very well. That's a brilliant point. And he said just recently that the left, when they cannot change policy through legislation, through the ballot box, what they do is they change policy through changing the culture, by changing the language, by changing what they don't like, by making it out of fashion to think differently than anyone else. So you mean to tell me that statue? But see, it's deeper than that. And I think you understand that too. It's so much deeper than a statue. If you take such great offense at a statue, and I would submit that there's a lot of people taking offense at Confederate statues who are pawns in this much greater political chess game that they do not understand. They think they're doing right. They think they're taking a stand against racism, but really they're being used for a much greater political agenda that they themselves do not understand. And frankly, the minorities are the ones that get hammered first in tyranny and socialism and communism. They always, always do.
Right.
Don't you
They're
think?
Being used, and they don't know that. You're exactly right. And so, but the masterminds are the ones that know the hot buttons and the words to use to get everyone riled up and choose sides. Mm-hmm. And then you come to their solution, which is, well, since this is so controversial, let's just eliminate it from the scene, and we won't have to deal with it. And so we're removing our heritage that way.
And so what do you think they want to replace it with, Charlene? If they destroy our culture, our history, our heritage, what do these masterminds, do you think, want to replace that with when they've taken away Washington, Jefferson?
They don't want us to have allegiance to family. And they don't want to have us to have an allegiance to our national heritage. Our allegiance should be to the globalists, which are the ruling elite, which really is cheap labor and really elimination of the middle class, because it's easier to control, kind of return us to a serfdom It's easier to control the masses that way.
And, you know, I hate to use these isms, but I agree with you, and I think that it has to be added that it isn't just globalism, but it's global socialism. And in socialism, they never, ever want you to be beholden to anybody but them. That's why in the Soviet Union, what were the first things they did? They put down religion. If you had any allegiance to God whatsoever, you had to do it in secret. And they made sure that it was out of favor and looked upon negatively, or sometimes worse, to believe in God. Why? Because if you answer to, as they say at Hebrew National, you know, the hot dog company, if you answer to a higher authority, then you're not answering to them, are you? Right?
Exactly.
So that is the thing. They want to be God in our universe. And if we are law-abiding citizens who are just standard law-abiding citizens who are living by the laws and rules or the kinds of principles that have kept this country going for 200 years, namely the Constitution, suddenly that's bad, evil, and you're being political. And you're offending someone if you fly your American flag. That is astounding to take that attitude. And something's interesting is happening, though, Charlene, is that people are suddenly fighting back. All of a sudden, that's why I'm so optimistic, because for 8 or 10 or even more years, even during the Bush years, even before that, we have had a populace that have just been very, very complacent about, if only we would elect a black president, then we would get past this racism and we could move on to a colorblind society. That didn't happen. And yet we get bullied and bullied and bullied some more. And now somehow people are starting to find their voice, their courage, their spirit to say, guess what? I'm not racist for disagreeing with you. Why do you think that is, Charlene? This is a leading question. But why do you think
I have the answer. Thank you so much. And I think I think Trump understands this whole dialectic that I'm talking about. That
Donald J. Trump
fire
is the answer.
On the flame.
Yeah, Donald Trump is the answer. That is the answer to my leading question.
Yes, he will say, I don't like those SOBs, fire them. And see, that it takes that kind of language, although I don't speak that way myself. But
I can tell you're very
language-like, Charlene. to get people fired up. And so he knows
and you know
how
what?
To throw
what do
the
you think? Forgive
it.
Me, but what do you think about those many, many Republicans, people on the Republican side, who are just horrified and offended and, oh my God! I mean, their knickers are in such a twist that our president said, "Son of a bitch." Yeah. Meanwhile, you've got a culture being driven by the left that is some of the trashiest, most despicable, immoral culture. Everything is okay by the left as long as you agree with them. If you don't agree, and I'm talking about the Republicans too, if you don't agree with them, suddenly they're moralists. Suddenly, they disagree with your language, and they don't think you should have been married 3 times. Oh, my God. They're suddenly the most prim and proper people in the whole world. What's going on there?
Yeah. Well, you know, I call their behavior vile and vulgar, but it's not when they do it. But if we say one, you know, curse word, then we're just horrible. But you know about the Republicans, the rhinos, they have had such an easy ride. They got elected, you know, as the opposition party to keep these supposedly two opposition parties fighting each other, you know, but to make us think we had a democracy. And now they've been challenged to really stand up for Republican values, and they have no desire to do so. They're just kind of slithering under the grass, hoping that they're not called out.
Charlene, I want to thank you for your call. are a patriot. Thank you very, very much for call. I hope you'll keep listening and call in and disagree And it's a pleasure to have you on board for Spouting Off.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I wanted to continue with this. We have a break coming up. Thanks to Charlene for calling. I wanted to continue with this and talk about something else I've been hearing this week, which I'm stunned by, but I guess I'm not. And that is that a lot of people on both sides of the aisle have said that this is a free speech issue, that this is all about free speech. And they've said that these players that are taking a knee for our country and for our flag have a right to express themselves and their free speech. Guess what, people? Nothing could be further from the truth. This is not a free speech issue. And yet it's fascinating to me that those same people who are screaming about free speech are the same people who don't believe that anyone with a difference of opinion, like, say, I don't know, a conservative speaker in Berkeley, like Ben Shapiro or Milo or Ann Coulter, has a right to speak. So let's talk briefly before the break about the difference. I'm going to quote from, believe it or not, the Constitution. It says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. There's about five rights in there. Establishment of religion, free speech, free exercise of speech, freedom of the press, right of the people to assemble, and to redress grievances. Am I counting right? But those rights are that the Congress will not punish you for practicing your religion or speaking up and exercising your right to free speech. The Congress, the government, has no right to punish you. People in this country, I mean, too many people, I don't want to be too generalistic here, cannot understand the difference between private companies and public entities because the lines have been blurred for so long. If you go to my website, I have a whole bunch of articles about various things and thoughts. One of them is, there's two on there about free speech and how people, kids on campus, do not understand free speech. The NFL is a private organization. It has a right to make employment rules and laws. And when we come back, I have a few minutes left, we'll talk about what the NFL rules are because it's even in their book and they're deciding to go against their own rules. However, UC Berkeley, the University of California at Berkeley, is a government-funded institution. It is a college funded by government funds. That means taxpayer funds, yours and mine. How come the left doesn't care about their free speech, the free speech of people that come on college campuses? I am referring, if you don't know, to the rioting and the looting and the ugly, ugly behavior that happens on college campuses, particularly UC Berkeley, when a conservative pundit or commentator comes to speak to students. So it's not okay for other people to have free speech, only the left. And what will they do in order to justify that you don't have a right? Well, it's their stock in trade. You're a racist, you're a bigot, you're a homophobe. When you broaden the definition, as I spoke about last week, that everything that doesn't agree with what I think is racist and bigoted and homophobic, then I get to shut you down. I get to riot and feel okay about it. And meanwhile, when somebody is breaking their own employment law and disrespecting the country and the people who pay tickets at the NFL, and it's not a free speech issue, I'm going to start screaming about the free speech. So let's be clear about what this all means. We got to have a difference, a boundary between free speech, between public institutions and private institutions. That is what's important. Once you do that, then you know what the rules are. Today, all those lines and boundaries have been blurred so that what is public is private and what is private is public. This is Spouting Off. There's our music. This is Spouting Off with Karen Kelly. And we have another half an hour left, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Vivian, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arnn, on how America's founders understood the words, "All men are created equal."
America's founders knew, obviously, that human beings are not equal in terms of strength or beauty, or in terms of intelligence, industry, or talents. They understood that because of such differences, differences in talents and things like that, some people would be wealthier than others. But human beings are equal, the founders believe, in their possession of natural rights, such as the rights to life, liberty, and property. Today, many Americans reject this equality of rights in order to pursue an equality of condition through redistribution or spreading the wealth around, to use a famous formulation. This is destructive of liberty as the founders understood it.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket Constitution and Declaration, go to ConstitutionMinute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Welcome back to Spouting Off. This is Karen Cataline, and just so I get it in now and I don't get flummoxed at the end of the show, we have about a half an hour before the end of the show, and I have a lot to talk to you about, and you can still call in, and please think about doing so. But I do want to tell you about my website, which is www.karencataline.com. That's spelled Karen, the normal way, KarenKataline. And if you know how to spell my name, you'll find me, KarenCataline.com, Facebook, Karen Cataline, or Twitter, @KarenCataline. The other thing I want to do is thank the people that have made this show possible. Usually you do that at the end of the show, but I so much do not want to rush it and have to squeeze it in at the last minute like I did last week. And that is, I want to thank Doug, my producer, Doug Newsom, my producer at BBS Radio. It is a pleasure and an honor to be associated with BBS Radio, and I hope you'll listen to some of their other programs. I intend to start as soon as I stop having a heart attack every time I do this. No, my goal, as I was telling Doug off the air, is to just keep getting better every week. That's my goal. And I want to be challenged. I want you to challenge me, and that'll help me get better. Another person I want to thank is Wiley Fox, and that's the name he goes by. Wiley Fox, the technical wizard extraordinaire, who has done enormous work on our commercials, on our intros and our outros. He's been working madly in his laboratory, putting together magic for us and trying to stay current with what is most important. So thank you to Wiley Fox. And then also thank you to HW, our multi-talented voiceover guy. And he likes to be known as the person with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And believe me, you know, sometimes you wonder, but in fact, he does have an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And I want to thank HW because you're going to be hearing his voice on and off throughout the program. And at various times when you least expect it. I'm not done with this NFL issue yet, so I'm going to keep going on. There's another issue about this NFL thing, and that is, where are we in our notes? We got so many notes, we got things going everywhere. And so we've talked about the First Amendment. The next point is Trump. Is this really about Trump? Did Trump politicize this issue? Or have the Trump haters been looking for every and any and all excuses to demonize and hate Trump any way they can? The interesting thing is they haven't really been able to do it yet, and that's what seems to be making them crazy. He has this wonderful ability to put his pulse on the public that is getting ignored and the public that is constantly being pushed around, and saying, you know what? I agree with you. And he does it in language that is everyday language that we talk like every other time. But somehow we think that a president should be of another era. Well, we don't like our presidents from other eras either. We're trying to get our presidents from other eras to have the same sensibilities that we have today about political correctness, and they don't. And that's an excuse, apparently, to be able to destroy and demean them. Meanwhile, we hold Trump to an entirely different standard, and that standard is unfair and unreasonable. What he's doing is fighting fire with fire. And oh, how they hate that. How'd they get the standing to be the final arbiters of decency anyway? As I was mentioning to Charlene, you've got the most indecent culture today in Hollywood exporting some of the most disgusting values ever. I mean, anything's okay. If you're a Hollywood person, you can be a drug addict, you can be anything, as long as you toe the politically correct line, and then suddenly everything is okay. Then you can do anything. If you're Donald Trump, it doesn't matter what you do or what word you say, it's always wrong. Well, I would submit to you that this NFL flack is not Donald Trump's. The NFL has been politicizing this issue, been politicizing its football games forever. Most people just want football and sports as an escape. They don't want to have politics thrown in their face. If players insist on doing so, then guess what? They get to take the consequences. Number one, it's not a free speech issue. It has nothing to do with free speech. And number two, if they're breaking the laws and rules of the rule book of the NFL, which apparently it was not okay to wear a small pin on your lapel or to do anything to honor police officers in Dallas when they were murdered wholesale because of this very issue, trumping up the racism charge so that innocent police officers, I use that word on purpose, so that police officers were murdered. They didn't get to go home to their families because of this kind of demagoguery going on. And decent, good football players in the NFL wanted to pay tribute and honor the fallen police officers who go to work every day to try to protect innocent citizens. I hate having to say this because it should be noted, duly noted. Is every single police officer perfect? No. There are bad apples everywhere. But how many police officers are willing, how many human beings, citizens, are willing to run into the burning building instead of out of it? How many citizens are willing to go to work every day? That thin blue line. I know I'm pontificating here, but hey, I'm spouting off. I have enormous respect and admiration for the people that go to work every day so that the civilization, Western civilization, can continue by keeping law and order and protecting yours and my freedom to disagree, our freedom not to be shut down, to hold property. Guess what stands between you and me and those things being taken away? It's good, honest police officers who protect law-abiding citizens. That's what they do. They're the sheepdogs. They're the sheepdogs who want to protect us. Are there corrupt cops? Absolutely. But this smear, this evil narrative that all cops are racist and are targeting black people simply isn't true. I'm sorry, it's a lie. It is a lie narrative that has been perpetrated by a politically motivated group of people that want people constantly riled up. That's terrible. And they're blaming Trump for being divisive, making it political. Think about that. There are people who want to keep other people riled up all the time. How is that possible that they're trying to keep people riled up? So it takes courage to defy political correctness and say that it's simply not okay to give people a pass because of the color of their skin. It's simply not okay to say, you know what, they can misbehave all they want, but if they happen to be black or Latino or in another protected group, maybe gay. I mean, what happens to the gay black police officer? Is he out of luck? I mean, we really have got to return to looking at people as individuals. That is the absence of racism, when you look at people as individuals and not judge them only as a member of a group. This week, Vaughn Miller, who happens to be a big star playing for the Denver Broncos, as some of you may know, said this, quote, "Me and my teammates, we felt like Donald Trump's speech was an assault on our most cherished right, freedom of speech," Miller said, following the Broncos' 26-16 loss at Buffalo. All right, we already talked about the freedom of speech. It's not freedom of speech, but I don't see the people screaming and yelling, standing up for the free speech of Milo at Berkeley, or Ann Coulter, or Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro is one of the smartest guys ever. And you know what? I disagree with Ben Shapiro sometimes, but he was booed off the stage and he had to spend something like $600,000 in order to protect himself going to Berkeley. So I ask you, how much do the liberals actually believe in free speech? The other problem is there's no escape from politics today. Everything's political. Now, you know, there's some of us that are political junkies. I know this is going to shock you, but I happen to be one of them. I watch what's going on. I'm interested in the news. I argue about the news. But even I want an escape. I got to tell you, I'm not exactly the biggest sports fan or football fan. But if ever there was a time to turn off the NFL, this really is it. And people are doing so. People, longtime football fanatics, are doing so because they're being asked to decide between their love of sports and their love of this country. And for most of them, there really is no contest when it comes to standing up for our country, especially when you're talking about people who gave their lives. And I know it sounds dramatic, but guess what? It's true. They really did. The problem is the people kneeling before Zod, if you ever saw the Superman movie, the people kneeling for slavery and not standing for freedom, they don't know their history. They don't know what made this country great, and they surely don't know the number of people, black, white, Latino, any and all shades, colors, religions, who shed their blood for freedom. Let them go to Normandy. Let them go anywhere in this country and see servicemen and great Americans whose names we don't even know, who gave their life for this country. So don't tell me that this isn't about dismissing our country and hating our country. It is about that. I was spouting off there for just a moment. I want to shift gears here. Unless you have something you want to say, please call in and tell me where I'm wrong. I'm going to use the last, 10 minutes to talk about another issue, because probably I've got notes and notes and long, long, long lists of notes about this subject, because I've been watching it all week and I knew I was going to do a show about it. And boy, oh boy, I could go on and on. And I did. I love having a show. It's so much fun. Such a challenge. But a long list of something else I want to tell you about. There's a long list of excuses by Hillary Clinton about why she didn't win. Did you know this? That Hillary Clinton has a long list of excuses, and she just keeps making excuses. The latest in a huge line of excuses about why she didn't win, and I quote, women is white women. Okay, white women. Notice you've always got to be a member of a group, a gender, and you always got to have a color associated to you as far as the left's concerned, because there really is no other politics or ideas in life for the left except your race, your gender, your sexual identity, what group you belong to, and some groups are just more equal than others. So here's something that Hillary said. She said, women who support Trump are publicly disrespecting themselves. Really, Hillary? Women are publicly disrespecting themselves because they had the guts to disagree and not vote for you? There's something we call in Yiddish chutzpah. And you got to say it with a ch, because in Yiddish, phlegm is a consonant. So chutzpah. She rode her husband's coattails, bullied and intimidated his alleged victims, even those who alleged rape. Many people don't know that. If you don't know that, please look up the name Juanita Broderick. Juanita Broderick is the person that got me interested in politics. Or I can say I credit Bill Clinton with interesting me in politics. Juanita Broderick made a credible accusation of rape of Bill Clinton when he was still a governor in Arkansas. Our last caller happened to have been from Arkansas. Maybe in weeks to come, we'll talk to Charlene about Bill Clinton and Arkansas. Nonetheless, she not only turned a blind eye to it, and for some of you, this is old news, but she was actually on the bimbo patrol of bullying and demeaning women who made those accusations of Bill Clinton so that she could protect her political career. There's a lot on Hillary, but boy, oh boy, what she's doing right now is stunning. It's stunning. She is publicly having a meltdown before all of us. Why does it matter what Hillary's doing at this point in time? Well, because it sets an example for the country. It affects the country negatively when she won't give up on the 2016 election, when her hypocrisy is there for all to see. She got all bent out of shape when she thought she was going to win, that maybe, perhaps, oh my God, Donald Trump might not accept the results of the election, because she really believed, not only did she believe she would win, she believed that she had to win, that she was entitled to win. And my, oh my, wasn't it a surprise when she didn't? Apparently, she refuses to accept that she lost. She refuses to accept that she must move on. And the blame game that she's involved in is embarrassing. It's just flat out embarrassing. As far as I'm concerned, since I disagree with almost everything Hillary is and stands for, and I do respect myself as a woman, I think she should keep talking. because the more she talks, the more my ideas and our ideas win. Even the Democrats wish that she would shut up. She's embarrassing herself. And why can't some people see it? I think a lot of people are seeing it. She's utterly, thoroughly, and completely unwilling to take responsibility for anything that she may have done for people to reject her. And this is one of the illnesses of the left. The left believes that they can manipulate others and force others to think and believe as they do. There's an old phrase, the left likes anything as long as it's mandatory. And so I guess as long as you voted for Hillary, you're an acceptable person. If you didn't, you're deplorable. Meanwhile, she never mentioned that, well, my goodness, Anthony Weiner had something to do with her defeat. Only weeks before it came out that Anthony Weiner was committing the crimes for which he just took 22 months in jail. There was nothing about her campaign incompetence. There was nothing about that she didn't know why she was running. She had no plan. She didn't stand for anything. And she was trading on being a woman for winning. That's what she thought. She thought, you know, I guess before the world needed, the country needed a black president. Now the country needs a woman president. And she also said, she gave an interview saying that she refused to give absolution to the women that didn't vote for her. Can you believe that? She, what is she, like a king, a prince, a pope, that she's going to give absolution and she's not going to give absolution to the people who didn't vote for her? You know what she also said? I don't have access to it right at the moment. She also said that she's afraid that Trump is as terrible as Putin, and she only hopes that he doesn't start killing journalists. This is a woman who came this close to being president. She also has blamed Russians and Putin. She's blamed James Comey. She's blamed WikiLeaks, voter suppression, sexism, racism. She actually blamed Barack Obama, Bernie Sanders. I could go on. I know. If you're bored with it, I am too. I'm not going to just, oh, and she also blamed content farms in Macedonia for the fact that she lost the election. I think she's just this side of crazy. I think she's having a meltdown. It is kind of delicious that she's having one publicly, given that she's never been held accountable for any of her dangerous and illegal acts. But I don't know, maybe it's the social worker in me. I feel a little sorry for her. I feel a little sorry for her having this meltdown in public the way she is. And of course, being the good liberal, she could never, ever not blame racism, sexism, and all the rest. Speaking of people who claim racism and sexism, there is a congressperson, Keith Ellison. He is a Muslim. He happens to be a Muslim. He's also the deputy chairman of the Democratic National Committee. He compared illegal immigrants living in the United States to Jews in Nazi Germany. Really? He did? This is a liberal who's the deputy chairman of the Democrat National Committee. He almost got to be chairman of the Democrat National Committee, Keith Ellison. And he said, and I quote, "And if you ask yourself, what would I do if I was a Gentile in 1941? If my Jewish neighbors were under attack by the Nazis, would I give them sanctuary?" The Minnesota congressman said this week in Minneapolis. I just have to spout off about that because there is a fundamental difference between people coming to this country illegally and breaking our laws, coming when they have not been invited, and citizens who are pulled from their homes, removed from their neighborhoods, put on a train, and part of a mass genocide. And not just Jews, but lots of other people. I don't know. There's a lot to spout off about today. And there will be next week. lots to spout off about, and I hope you'll join me next week at this time at 10 a.m. Pacific, 11 Mountain, for Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. And if you'd like, please join us online on my Twitter page, Facebook page, and website, KarenCataline.com. See you next week.